Hello, this is Christy Kalaveig, host of Vital Connections on Air. We have been experiencing some really difficult things in the last few months, and we know that there are more challenges ahead. At the Center for Community Vitality, we have been working to bring topics and partners together through webinars and articles since the end of March to get you the information that you need. Now I'm going back to those educators and asking them for updates and insights on what we should be doing in our current context. I'm sharing small parts from these long conversations over the next several weeks so that we can listen, reconnect with ideas, and hopefully take the next small steps. Here is the second part of my conversation with Lori Rothstein and Denise Stremme as we continue to discuss the art of calming the overwhelm. I know that I've had friends that have brought this up. Well, Denise, you and I have even talked about it, that we had like the long list of books that we were going to get read. And I don't know about you, Denise, but I still haven't crossed many books off of my list. Zero, that makes me feel better. I have friends who had like huge household projects they were going to do during this time of stay at home, and things just aren't getting done. And so I feel like that kind of leads into choice too, that it's, there were other choices that we needed to make in that moment that we didn't get that project done or we didn't get that book read. But how can people come to terms with the fact that they didn't get all of those grandiose things done? Any thoughts on that?
Well, part of it's framing. What is this time, right? But in this time, we had to continually reframe in the challenge around what are my values and what comes to the top. And so the value might have shifted because life shifted in the middle, or we didn't realize the intensity of all the pieces coming in around the parenting or the time it would take for the schooling or what it looks like to manage two people for working from home, right? So some of those values conversations that you can look about that and say, maybe it was like, what around those books, you know, what value maybe did you want to have, or why did you want to read, get through those books, right? Or what was that value that you were kind of looking for at the beginning of that? And maybe look at, what did I do? What did I accomplish? What are those pieces that I did? And then check out, are those values similar? Maybe you actually accomplished some of the same value pieces of that. You just did it in a different way.
On a couple of tangible things, just going off of my life, here is the idea of shifting your mind on what little wins are you going to celebrate? Are you going
love
to
that.
That you actually made a breakfast today rather than, you know, painted half of your house, or celebrate that you put on something besides sweatpants in the morning? You know, it's trying to find the little wins that you can celebrate that you can still feel good about. So that's one. Another thing is to change your triggers. So like Christy said, I have a box of books, knowing I was just going to get through all these books. You know, these are books, nonfiction books about stuff I like about work. And it was sitting right in front of me for, you know, 4 weeks. I felt so guilty every time I saw the box of books that I actually put the box of books behind and around a corner. So it doesn't continually trigger the guilt or that I should be doing that. I also was going to do a lot of painting on the trim of my house, and I was going to do it in that first week, you know, after work every day. And I just started in one window at a time and felt good about that and felt good about the next window. So I think it's changing how you're going to celebrate, but then also moving those triggers. If you don't want to feel guilty about the house projects, put the can of paint away, put the ladder away, and just be okay with the choices that you're making from moment to moment.
That reminds me of the work around grief that, you know, they talk a lot about when you are grieving the loss of a loved one or a job or a marriage or what have you, that you need to celebrate those small wins to do what you can today. And I think that just triggered in my mind that it's also acknowledging this time of grief that we're in too, whether we necessarily realize that or not.
Oh yeah. Every change brings a loss. And so when I was teaching a series of workshops last summer, when I would say that, I'd get like half a dozen hands raise up and say, I don't get that. You know, why would a change create a loss? And I said, well, anytime you change any pattern, you create a loss of behavior, a loss of a movement, a loss of an emotion. So these losses don't have to be of people. They can be of little things that you don't really even think about. I mean, a loss of an emotion, you know, we don't really think about those types of things. Loss of relationships, loss of pattern, loss of ritual, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of things. And so it comes back to that point of, what are you doing to honor that space between the stimulus and the response that is continually presenting you throughout your days? What can you do in that space? And so is there a way then to honor the loss in that space between?
Yeah. And also just recognizing that we have emotions and it's okay to have emotions. And we don't have to hide those.
That's like, you know, that we always, we have tended to frame emotions around positive or emotions or negative emotions, right? So, but if we can remove that from our mind to be like, again, it's kind of a should kind of piece, like it's this idea that I shouldn't be feeling this, but just to recognize that we have them for that reason. They're there because they're valid. It's important to feel grief. It's important to feel loss. It's important to feel sadness or worry, right? And those are part of that. And what does that mean for me right now? And what do I want to do with that? And how do I want to respond with that, right? So that's that pause piece of it. It's just like recognizing it, understanding it, and then figuring out, you know, once you know what that is, what do I want to do with it? How do I want to move through?
Yeah, that, you know, Lori's touching on Dr. Susan David's work and research around emotional agility. You can't really be agile with your emotions unless you can name what those are. And then you want to get to what she calls walk your why, walking your authentic self. But if you can't even understand your emotions enough to give them a name, you're not going to be able to pivot or experience those thoughts and emotions in a more healthy, positive way.
And I think part of that understanding is really the allowance, right? It's okay to feel it.
You bet.
And so yeah. Unless we do pause, like part of that understanding, because we tend to brush, we tend to move forward, we tend to say, it's okay, I'm just going to move the, you know, it's not a big deal, I'm fine, right? So like this really part of that understanding is really a welcoming. It's really this like, you know, I'm willing to feel you and I'm willing to be here with you for a little while. Sadness, you know, think of a character Inside Out, right? So like,
yep.
I'm willing to be here, right? Like it's okay. And I think that that's part of that move through. And so you can move through, you can be emotionally agile.
And I think we're going to see more of that need of allowance as we transition into more social lives again. And not to say that we haven't been social online, but to get around more people who are maybe more fearful than we are at this time, or less fearful than we are, or ready to pretend that things are the same and others thinking it's never going to be the same. And so we're probably going to be experiencing different emotions, but also kind of more common emotions in different situations that we're not expecting. Mm. And so I think, you know, allowing that to be there and to recognize that and to be in that space before you respond will help us too in making the choices that feel right for us as we do.
I think that's important as a leader, really, to think about yeah. that, not to expect everyone in our team and our organization, our community, as we're out right. and about, not to expect people to be feeling the same thing. And even if they're outwardly maybe kind of seeming that, their why they're there might be a little bit different, right? So like being thinking about their fear or their sadness or their overwhelm might be for it from a different reason. Right? It might be because they have their kids at home. It might be because they lost their business. It might be because their mom is sick, We have all of these different pieces to think about what's happening right now and to understand that as we do kind of re-engage and move forward, that it's not a straight line. We're going to be just like any other time with emotions, but where we are in a pandemic experience, it's not a straight line, and we're going to be kind of on a roller coaster, and people aren't going to be on the same ride at the same time for the same reason. So as a leader, really to recognize that and give the space to allow for that.
I like the roller coaster analogy because it's even on a roller coaster, depending upon where you sit, you have a very different ride, you know? And so I think that works well for this. What are some strategies or maybe even your favorite tip to help either calm the mind, make a choice, or just center yourself as people enter into this next stage of finding our current reality?
Yeah, I think one thing we tend to, Denise and I both like this really simple meditation called I Am Here. And it's something you can do anywhere, right? But it's just centering with where you are and presenting your mind so it's here with your body, which it's amazing how often our mind is adrift and something else. So it's really just being there. It's really easy. You just, if you're able to, close your eyes, but just take a couple deep breaths. And as you breathe in, you say to yourself, I am. And as you exhale, here, right? So I am here. And even as I do that right now, even just one breath, but if you can do two or three, it's really just allowing your whole, your physical body to work by bringing more oxygen to your brain and to your vagus nerve throughout your whole system. But it just really allows your mind to then open so you can be more compassionate and peaceful and access that whole brain piece and just reset and recenter.
Yeah, I love that one. Another one that I've grabbed onto the last couple years is that idea of choosing 1 to 3 decisions that I can simplify each day. Like even before I'm out of bed thinking, okay, or the beginning of the week, Monday morning, I'm having oatmeal for breakfast every single morning and I don't even have to think about it. Or this week I am going to do this. I'm taking the really simple decisions, making a choice right then and there so I don't have to ruminate each time I do it. So if there's 1 to 3 decisions that you can simplify in your life today, just make that commitment and do it. And it's amazing how much time you have and how much brain energy you have for the tougher decisions when you can simplify the simple ones in your life.
Thank you to Lori Rothstein and Denise Strummy for this conversation. I look forward to sharing more from our chat with you in a future episode. Please visit the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality webpage at extension.umn.edu/community-development, where you will find links to Lori and Denise's 2 for You series, as well as our April 7th webinar and resources to help calm the overwhelm. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date on new research and resources for communities and those who lead them. We hope that you will join us for our next episode of Vital Connections on Air, and please stay well.